This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. Let's talk about online shopping reviews that you get. I came across an article on NPR, and it was titled, "You know, some Amazon reviews are too good to believe they're actually paid for." Now, it's not just Amazon. Obviously, this article and NPR's, there's a podcast on this as well. It focuses on Amazon because they spoke to Travis, who, again, it's not his real name, but he's one of those where he actually works by doing fake reviews. And surprisingly, the way he got into this was he bought a product that he thought the reviews was actually really good and was legit, bought the product came to him, and it was complete, utter rubbish. Mm. And he decided, like, man, maybe the reviews are fake. Soon afterwards, he was one of those person who would do fake reviews.
Fake reviews, yeah.
So then it got me thinking, I actually buy a lot of stuff online, and I rely on those reviews. And obviously, you can spot a fake review that's done by a bot, which is just normally they either give you a 5-star and they'll just have, you know,
yes, I love your cheese straws on Friday. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right? You know, yeah. You could spot a bot fake review or just someone just playing around with it. But for the legit ones, the ones where they really craft a nice review, they put photos up and stuff, surprisingly, now that could be fake too. Because Travis, this guy in this thing, he explains one of the ways to work in this environment, because Amazon's clever. All the e-stores are quite clever in catching this fake
review. Yeah, of course, because they have...
It's very easy.
Well, it's very easy to post the reviews.
Bot ones, yeah.
So obviously they have to catch them because it's part of their business model. The reviews have to be credible or it affects the credibility of the site as a whole. So,
yeah.
So yeah, and as you were saying, sites like Amazon have this thing called verified purchasers. So you can see that the person has bought that product. It's linked to their Amazon account. So you assume that when they're posting the review that it is legitimate. It's not a paid for review. I mean, you will see at the bottom of some of the reviews,
yeah,
it says this product was supplied by da da da. And then you know that that's not going to be the most objective review. But
yeah,
when you see verified purchaser, you think, okay, this is legit.
Yeah. Although it could now possibly not be legit, because the way that Travis works is that he actually approaches the seller and then they negotiate the terms. And once he buys the product and he leaves a 5-star review, the seller will refund his purchase, and often they add in a few more dollars as commission for his trouble in doing all this. And he says he earns around $200 a month. And one of the, they're quite specific as well, the instructions that's given by the seller to avoid Amazon, you know, detecting that, this is something going on, some fishy thing going on here, the algorithm especially. The seller will normally say, like, you know, will tell Travis, like, if you review too soon after receiving the product, it will kind of look pretty suspicious. So he normally waits about 4 to 5 days in pretext, making sure, like a normal human being,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like
you
get the product,
for a few days,
you use
and
it a few
then
hours, and then you do the review.
Or rather, you go back to the site to buy something else and you think, oh, okay, I'll leave the review because Amazon sent you an email asking what you think of the product.
But it's now to a point where, you know, even local stores here, I shop a lot on local stores, whether it's electronics or it's clothing, and you know, I rely on these reviews, and most of them I get disappointed. But I guess I have a role to play in also giving that review, like, hey, hang on a minute, this was not up to expectations, but I just don't care. I really just don't care. Once I get the product and it's disappointing, I don't bother going back to the site.
No, exactly.
And then giving a bad review, because to me it's like, what's going to... Well, nothing's going to happen from this, right?
But I mean, I have started for the last couple of years, I now automatically go and look at the 1- and 2-star reviews first to see...
So you sort them out.
Well, a lot of the sites like Amazon allow you to choose the number of...
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so you can just go straight into whatever people have reviewed by. So I look at what people say in terms of the negative things. I look at the positive things too, because some people, you know, it's the best product in the world. And, you know,
some people are very nice and kind.
Yeah. I bought this extra large t-shirt, but I'm tiny and it's too big for me. You know,
yeah,
you get a lot of people who don't make a lot of sense. But yeah, so you do have to sort and sift through these things. But it is difficult, especially when you go on to a branded goods website. So it's a site that's selling all its own branded things. There's never anything except 5-star reviews on those sites. And you just think, well, what's the point of having those reviews? There's no credibility there as well. But it is kind of upsetting because when you hear how easily the system can be gamed, because I think in the same article, Amazon's claiming that only 1% of reviews.
It's not 1%. Come on.
Well, exactly. I mean, I would like to see a bit more kind of openness on the part of the companies and saying, look, you know, whatever the percentage is, this is what the percentage of the fake reviews are, and taking more kind of visible steps to clamp down on it.
Yeah. Also, I guess the reason why this have, you know, brought on like a new venture or income for certain people like Travis in the article is just because being on the first page is so important. How often do you go online and you search for a product and you actually go through page 4 and 5 to make the purchase, right? You just stick on page 1. If you don't find it, you just don't find it.
But there's also another subculture, not quite related to this, of the people who do make it regularly onto those first page, particularly of Amazon reviews, because companies will automatically start to send them their products.
Yeah.
So it starts to be a way. It's kind of like being an Amazon influencer. You can start to earn quite a good side money doing these kind of projects. And the same happens with the books as well, like on Audible the books as well. If you're one of the really well-rated reviewers on the site, then the publishers will automatically send you books within those genres that you like for you to review. So there is a whole kind of ecosystem and income-generating system that is being built around these reviews and recommendations.
I'll post up the link on NPR. There's also a podcast that's attached to this, and it's a really good listen. It's about 5 minutes listening, and it's just fascinating because I buy a lot of things online, almost everything online, and I guess I need to start doing reviews as well online, and hopefully I'll be one of those, you know, celebrities where I get a free review or free products and stuff. It could be nice.
But also just, you know, Google a little bit more widely. Go and have a look at reviews beyond the site. Yeah. See if there are any tech companies or media organizations who've reviewed it as well.
Yeah.
And do your own comparisons.
Yeah. Just got to be a little bit more hardworking, I guess. And it's, you know, e-commerce shopping is not that easy.
It's too easy. That's the problem. It's too easy. So we make colossal mistakes.
Anyways, we'll come back with Confused by the Crowd yet again. Is that right?
Still incredibly confused.
Confused by the Crowd. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. It's Geek Squawks Part 2. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. We have another. This is going to be something in trend now. Confused by the Crowd.
Because more and more, I'm just confused by the things that pop up into my inbox.
What popped up this time around, Matt?
We have the most crowdfunded accessory. This is a product that has beaten its funding goal by 14,326%. It has raised $1.5 million.
Okay.
And it is a belt.
You mean just like a normal belt?
Pretty much. Yeah. This is the Smart Belt 2.0.
Right, of course. It has to be smart.
Yeah, of course. So it's the company's second generation of the belt. Do you know what makes it smart?
No. I'm really trying to guess what can a smart belt do here.
It closes with a ratchet system a bit like a Ziploc.
How's that smart?
Gee, I don't know.
Oh, right. That's why it's confused by the
crowd. It comes in about 30 different colors. You can choose like from about 4 or 5 different buckle shapes and sizes and designs. But apart from that, well, it's got Kevlar in the middle. I don't know why that's a good thing. So it's leather and Kevlar.
So people can cut your belt? Well, apparently that's the thing, maybe.
I'm not sure. It's apparently to make it incredibly strong. But I thought that belts were incredibly strong. And in any case, how strong do you... You know, what are you putting in your pockets that you need a Kevlar belt? So, yes, once again, I am confused by the crowd. Because
one of the things they say here, it's 500% more adjustability 500% more adjustability.
Well, 500% more adjustability means those normal holes that you have between the holes on your belt, there's like five gradient points between that hole. So that is your 500%. There's just five more points between the holes. So like I said, it's a ratchet system, a bit like a Ziploc.
Yeah.
So
yeah, actually it is. Why don't you just use a Ziploc as a belt
well,
then?
Precisely. That's what I was thinking.
That would
Why
be
not
a lot
just
better,
get a,
yeah.
Yeah, a really, I mean, admittedly, they're quite hard to
undo. You can't get out of it,
But,
you've got to cut it up.
Well, for one that goes around your waist, you might need something like bolt cutters. But sure, you know, if you're the kind of person who doesn't change their pants that often, then just keep them on a few days. I am utterly, utterly confused by this. If you're not and you would like one of these, they will start shipping in November this year. And this is the other thing that confuses me. It's not even cheap.
Oh, well.
The starter price, the early bird price, is $59 with a standard price of 75. And even that is down on $120 for the retail price.
That's expensive.
That is a lot of money for a belt that has a ratchet system like a Ziploc.
So recommended retail price when it goes out will be about $130
$118
$120, that's a lot of money for a belt.
Right.
I don't think I have a belt that's worth like nearly 500 ringgit.
No. Okay. Like I said, it's made out of Italian leather and it's got Kevlar, and apparently the Kevlar makes it lighter, but then if you're adding the Kevlar to the leather, that probably makes it heavier. So I really don't know. But
yeah, some
that
people,
is, that
1.4
is,
million so yeah, far?
1.524 as of today.
Wow.
That is the Smart Belt 2.0, the most crowdfunded accessory.
All right. Anyways, let's go back to Amazon. They've introduced a new solution. It's called Pathfinder. Now, it leverages on computer vision with an existing mobile app to find replacement, just like, you know, the hardware store. So generally, you know, last time if you were to do DIY and then you have this screw and you kind of need replacements for this, or you maybe lost a couple of them, you would take that screw and you go up to the hardware store and, you know, ask the guy behind
the counter. Have
you got this? Yeah, do you have this screw? And then he will find somewhere in the drawer and like, here you go, here's a packet of, you know, hundreds of these same screws.
Yeah, unless you're one of those crazy people who looks at it and goes, oh, that's a quarter millimeter flathead. But those people are just very rare.
Very rare indeed. But now you could do it on Amazon's app. I guess this is only in the US for now, or at least in the UK only for now. But yeah, you could just go onto the app on the iOS. For now, it's only available on iOS. Android will be out soon as well. You just have to sort of, you know, tap the camera button on the Amazon search bar and then you take a photo next to a penny. Just for size references.
Yeah.
And then you just sort of move it around and it will then tell you exactly what is this part and give you a whole entire
and
list.
I have tried it and it does work. It's actually, yeah, it's actually quite incredible. I mean, I'm not really the kind of person who's usually that interested in nails and nuts and bolts, but it is quite amazing because that is one of those things. If I ever have to go to a hardware store, I end up buying like a packet of assorted screws because I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. So I just basically buy one of everything and hope that something will work. Mm. But this is, quite phenomenal. And you don't necessarily have to use it with an Amazon product. I mean, I know that's what it's designed for, but you can use the system and it will tell you the exact dimensions of that screw. So you can actually then just go down to your own hardware shop and say to the assistant, hey, I need a Phillips head, 2.5 millimeter. And the guy will go, wow, you're really smart and incredible. Here is a packet of said item.
And some discount as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you can strut out like you're the man.
Yeah. Actually, that is, that's quite true. Because most of the time when we, when we do all this DIY stuff, for me at least, some of the parts, I don't know what they're called. So if I have to go online and search for it, I just don't know what
No, that's,
to call this,
that's,
right?
Like, that's the thing, yeah.
So I bring it over to the shop and go like, do you have that part here?
I know, the number of times that you walk into the shop having, and you actually have to dismantle the thing at home first in order to take it. So if they don't have it, you can't even put it back together.
Exactly, yeah. Anyways, very clever stuff from Amazon, you know, good and bad anyways. Let's talk about Geek Tunes. What do we have for this time around?
Well, we have a song from a fake band that became real.
Oh.
So the Moon Landings were a fake band that were featured on someone else's record. They proved so popular that a real band has been founded. So this is one of the favorite tracks of mine. It's a remix by the Human League's Philip Oakey. Mm. This is the Moon Landings with Sweet Satin Mine.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.